Well, this sermon is my third iteration of the sermon for today. I am not quite sure ever why breaking chains has anything to do with Mother's Day. Or maybe it has everything to do with Mother's Day. Well, my mother said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Okay. And then when the sparring got really tough, I'm the oldest of five, so we started wrestling with each other. My dad, who was a man of few words, would yell, "Cease and desist!" That did it. He'd go back to his reading, but we knew that meant stop. Immediately stop. Mom was always a little softer around the edges in her requests, hoping through the softness we could hear the real word. But she was always a little guilt, had a little guilt woven into her niceness. If you don't have anything, and it was always that little lilty, if you don't have anything nice to say, well, you knew when that tone of voice came up that you weren't quite doing the right thing. Dad was clearer, but neither one of them liked to discipline unless pushed to their limits. In my family of origin, Mother's Day was also about Dad, since he had us go out in the back and pick violets and help make breakfast. And when I was a single mom on my own with my own two kids, they always made a righteous mess of the kitchen, but they really did their best to give me some kind of breakfast. This morning, my son asked, "What would you like for Mother's Day?" And I said, "Oh, would you drive me to work?" Oh, which he did. However, Mother's Day is a difficult day for many of us. Some of us really, honestly, have terrible memories. We can't say lovely things about our mothers or our children. And that everyone's trying to make such a lovely day and a lovely time out of this one day and make it meaningful may not be that way for everybody. As I've gotten older and my kids are older, I sort of cringe that these days are about requiring a certain kind of behavior. That may or may not be warranted or even appreciated. And of course, on this day, I think about mothering in general. And I've had people send me little notes, "It's Mother's Day, I can't possibly be there." Okay, good, fine. Go enjoy yourself somewhere. It can remind us of loss or grief or anger or joy or any other emotion that comes from a particular day. I don't know what it is about Mother's Day, but this really holds more power even than Father's Day. As I read our scriptures for today, I'm struck by how serious they are. These are very serious scriptures. But then again, scripture in general is pretty serious. I started looking for not so serious passages about Mother's Day, and I was unsuccessful. The message in Scripture is rarely of one singing or dancing or flowers being given, breakfast with the beloved mother, maybe not our own mother, but somebody we've adopted as a mother or has adopted us. Scripture instead screams, "Here's the problem, and here's the answer." And then, of course, here's the job. Paul is in prison. He is in prison for doing something that he thought was right in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's sort of a convoluted story of a soothsayer, a palm reader, a future teller. And Paul says, "Cut it out, cease and desist." And she does, and she just lost her job. And then he's thrown into jail, and then there's an earthquake, and he's freed. Okay, that's part of the story. That's an important part of the story. But the really cool part is they didn't run away. They knew that that jailer would be in trouble. So they stayed. And the jailer said, what can I do? And they said, believe in Jesus Christ. And they baptized his whole family, and it sounds like a happy story that is about singing and dancing and family and all being one. But I kind of think that we also have to, as we prepare for the Holy Spirit to arrive on our doorstep soon at Pentecost, that earthquake, that breaking of the chains, that opening up of the Holy Spirit was frightening. Here in this part of the world, we experience earthquakes, and sometimes they're not so frightening in the moment. They're frightening afterwards. And then Jesus, our beloved Jesus, in the book of John, is trying to get the community to understand the power of being the community. Jesus says, God, you and I are in each other, and we're a team, and we're together. And now, because I gave your people, our people, the love you've given me, then they're with us too. And now we are the beloved community. We are more than we were before we met each other. Maybe this does deserve flowers and dancing. On this Mother's Day, some mothers are thrilled to be showered with loving attention. Some mothers wish for a do-over. I don't know. I do have those moments clocked in my brain that I wish I hadn't done. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. There are some who wish they'd had a chance to be a mother. So this is an unpleasant day for them. There are all kinds of mothers in between. Being a mother, I will guarantee all of you who are not women have to understand, but as a woman, all of us think about being a mother. Should we be a mother? Shouldn't we be a mother? Is it a good idea? What kind of a mother would I be? I don't want to be a mother. You don't want to be a mother, really? Oh, it's not something you can avoid. You can't just say, I think I'll go get a job. Until after you've thought about the mother question. Some women tell me it's the most difficult decision they've ever made. And some, one of my best friends from college said, phew, I made the right decision when I was young, and I'm glad I'm not a mother. Good. Being a mother, I'll tell everybody who doesn't know, can be as joyous as it can be difficult. It can hurt longer than just those first days. Just ask your mother. For many of us, our mothers aren't with us. And I don't know what it is with me, but my mother was cremated, and she's in a box under my desk, and I can't quite get rid of her. I can't quite. Sometimes I put some ashes in some ocean or some body of water I'm going to be near, but I keep her under my desk. I talk to her every Sunday. And now she talks back in a way I can listen. You can do this, Blair. You're good at it. And as a kid, I was like, oh, what do you know? Now I say thank you. Our mothers teach us so much. Mothers take all the heat. As kids, many of us blame our mother more than we should. I suppose that's because somewhere along the line, we know our mothers will love us no matter what we've done, no matter what we do, no matter how silly we are, no matter how many cars we crash. No matter how many times we flunk out of school. And in the middle of the night, we forgive them, don't we? Just as much as they forgive us. What did Jesus say? God, I'm in you and you're in me, and we're going to teach the community how to be the community, the family. For all of us don't have mothers. We don't have opportunities to be accepted and loved like we want. So what I tell you, find somebody to mother you. Find somebody you love or who looks good in church, who smiles a lot. Get to know them. Say, I need a mother today. Could you be my mother today? Nobody will do that, I don't think. But sometimes we can only be mothered by ourselves. Good job, Blair. Why, thank you. I'm glad I did a good job. Sometimes that's the best we can do. Mothering doesn't have to be a person. Mothering can be a way of living. And yes, we do mother each other. I hear it in this church all the time. Men and women mothering each other. You know, you're really smart. You look good today. You're beautiful. Anna Jarvis started Mother's Day as a way to honor her mother. Anna Jarvis didn't have any children. She didn't intend to have any children. But she loved her mother, and her mother had been very successful. So Anna wanted people to thank all of their mothers for what her mother called service to humanity. However, in the best laid plans department, when Anna saw the blatant commercialism that erupted around Mother's Day, she wished she'd never worked for this holiday. For obligatory gifts and cards was not the honor Anna Jarvis was looking for her mother or any mother. There are 300 references to mother in the Bible. I'm not sure what that means, but clearly mothers mattered. Mattered then and mattered now. They are a fact of our life, like it or not. So, Mother's Day doesn't go so well, I don't think, sometimes with some of our scriptures. But here we are asked to be both, to talk about both, to talk about breaking out of sometimes all those things that we're expected to be and do. And if we don't know how to do them, how do we find a mentor, a person to teach us what we need to know? There's so much to know and so much to do, so much to achieve. When my mother and I were talking as she was in the nursing home, she would say to me, I'm sorry I didn't teach you about that. I know that was hard for you. I was blown away. I never knew she even noticed I was having a hard time in that particular part of my life. We need to give each other a chance, a break, an opportunity to teach us and be with us. We need to listen to each other. We need to be about breaking chains, about earthquakes. And maybe telling the truth doesn't have to be painful or hurtful. Maybe it can be joyful. But now, being a mother is not something when I was a kid, being raised in the 50s, being a mom was like just part of the imprinting. It's what you were supposed to do. I always thought I'd be a better mom than my own mom. I've apologized to her for that many times. many times. This is not an easy job, no matter who you're doing it, no matter how much information you have, no matter how much money or how much education, it is not an easy job. There's so much to do. And then, sometimes, here in this place, we get a chance to talk about such things, even if it's uncomfortable. Sometimes we're here to say, here I am, I'm doing my best. Help me, teach me, show me new ways to be about breaking chains, about being a mentor for others, about teaching someone what I know and maybe hearing them and listening to them and hearing what they know to parent then each other. I think those moments come when we least expect it, and they're little Holy Spirit nudges that come around the edges for us, and they are there and present. But often, the work of the Holy Spirit is hard work. All right, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're terrific. Now get out there and go to work for the Holy Spirit, for God. Be God's messengers and missionaries and people out in the world. You know, today we hear the news so fast. We know everything that's going on in a millisecond. Often we think it has nothing to do with us. And today, in the 21st century, we are living in a different world. Everything happens very quickly, very fast. There's not a lot of time to stop and think and rest and listen. And yet I believe the words of the Gospel of John have to be taken slowly, in little pieces, sitting there listening to what the words are saying to us. Turn it all off. Turn off all the news and the TV and the cell phones and the watches. Sit for a moment. I am yours. You are mine. I love you. In ministry, we learn a great deal about doing God's work. But sometimes what happens is we get bad news. We get painful news. We only get little sound bites. We're very fortunate to live here in a safe part of the world. We don't really have to worry so much about danger coming to us. And it's the kind of life we're accustomed to. But it all can change in a blink of an eye. Suddenly there's a tsunami or an earthquake or a difficult health diagnosis. It's about breaking chains out of the known into the unknown. Here we learn a lot about what God is asking us to do. And God is asking us to work not from the top down, where we know everything, everything's together and smooth, we're educated and we're rich and we can do all things from that point of view. That's not what God's asking. God's asking us in prison, in a dank, dark, awful place, do we sing God's praises like the disciples were? That's how you do ministry from the bottom up. Recognizing where you are in the day. Where do we sit? Where do we belong? Who are we? Who's next to us? Who is with us? We're not alone. In this bottom-up ministry, we can all be about breaking chains. It doesn't have to be about us alone doing all that hard work. We can encourage each other. We can look at things from both sides. We might be able to live in a way that encourages change, not if we try to do it alone, but if we listen to each other to break the chains of oppression. For if we believe, as the bedrock place from which the UCC begins, that all are one, then we are all of God. We deserve to listen to each other, to help each other. They deserve us to listen and help. Ministry is not from how we see or think it should be done, but person to person, relationship to relationship, at any point in time, helping us break our chains to learn how to be one. Well, this may have nothing to do with being a mother or a father. It has everything to do with being a person of God, doing our best to break out of the old and make meaningful the new. We all have a great deal to share. We are all smart, have so many things our neighbors don't know or have. We need others to join in this less than clear journey to seek oneness with each other, as God is seeking oneness with us, always seeking oneness with us. So today, in this complicated world we live in, where nothing is clear sometimes, and then it is when someone speaks new things to us that we then can grow. Maybe that is God mothering us or parenting us. So today, as we go out into the world, I invite you to see your neighbors and friends and your world a little differently. Now, recently, someone told me, Sarah told me something that was in Moroccan, and if I could remember it, I've been messing it up for days. I promise I will get it better. But one of the things she told me, and you're gonna I've got it wrong. But I got the idea right, I think. So I want to end with this. As we learn to love each other and mother each other, and we think, but life's pretty rough. I'm having a hard time right now. One of the things she said to me was that, and I've rearranged this, I'm sure, but life is chaos. The sky is clear. Praise God. Things are tough. Or things are uncertain. But wait, there's a lot of beauty around me. There's a lot of wonderful people with me. Praise God. A way will be made for us to learn how to live through the breaking of the chains and the parenting we got or we didn't get or we wanted to have or wanted to be, and then move forward. For God is in you, and God is in me. And if that's true, how could we possibly fail at living this life we're called to live? Amen and amen.